You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
All right, let's move from public works to pay TV. And MultiChoice has shown a significant decrease in active DSTV subscribers, dropping from 8 million to 7.6 over the past 12 months or so. Alarmingly, all segments of MultiChoice's DSTV subscriber base have declined. DSTV premium 8% year on year, the mid-market by 9%, and the mass market by 1% year on year. Leslie Adams is sales director at streaming experts Reach Africa and says that streaming has grown in direct proportion to the expansion of internet services and, I guess, the deepening cost of living crisis. So he joins me on the program now. And first of all, then, what do these subscriber numbers tell us, Leslie, about the current state of the pay TV market in the country?
It actually tells us a lot around the sense that I think South Africans aren't as far behind the technological curve as we think we are. Globally, we've seen pay TV channels decline by over 50%. And in fact, it's happening a lot slower in South Africa, but still following the same trend. The ultimate fact is that streaming, and paid streaming and free streaming, is ultimately coming after the audience base and providing a service very similar to what they do without a paywall in many cases, or sometimes much cheaper.
So if the current trajectory continues, is pay TV heading for the grave?
It's always premature to say we're heading for the grave. I mean, you've said things like that around cinema. Cinema's been dying since 1970. Television will always have a place and a form for all South Africans and for all viewers out there. What television will look like at the end of the day will change and evolve dramatically. So in the very early days, all we had was sort of aerial reception. Then we had satellite, or actually before satellite, we had the Mnet decoder. We then moved into satellite television. And I think what's quite interesting about that is that the next evolution of television viewing will effectively be internet-driven. So it will be infused with apps, it will be infused with live television, sports will move from our traditional pay TVs into the streaming services. So what it means for DSTV is that the glory days of satellite television or pay TV is gone, but the new evolution doesn't necessarily exclude them at all.
But it's also important for pay TV, and particularly an entity like DSTV, is that sport surely remains the jewel in the crown. A crown, lose that and you're in trouble. But the caveat to that is that streaming services are coming after that particular prize.
The fact of the matter is, it's not about an if, but rather when. Mm-hmm. And that, I think what's been quite interesting, and I think we actually have to give the MultiChoice team quite credit for, is that they've actually moved sport into the streaming environment with Showmax. The fact of the matter is, globally, we see different sporting codes, especially in the US, move from sort of normal pay television to now include streaming and compete head-to-head with pay TV. What that really means is that crown and the jewel will, in fact, be separated exclusively from pay television to now include streaming and other players. From a sporting code perspective, last year we had an ongoing conversation around should the BOC games be available to all South Africans for free? Well, what's really interesting about that sub-licensing agreement that SABC Plus has put in place with DSTV for different BOC games is that that now includes SABC Plus as well. So sport has gone streaming, it has gone mainstream to a wider audience, and in fact, it now exists without a paywall. So it's not an if question, it's a rather when question. And I think what's going to be quite interesting from a business perspective is how they'll adapt, how the licensing will adapt to protect their business, or at least protect their revenues in that space.
Leslie, I'm glad you raised Showmax. There is the argument that there's not enough of an integrative strategy between DSTV and Showmax. They're seen as very separate entities. Do you agree with that premise? And is there strength or weakness in that argument?
It's really a matter of perspective. I think the fact of the matter is you've got to separate them to allow them to compete independently and, you know, put themselves first within that space. As it stands, if you look at it, the MultiChoice pay TV business is a mammoth. It's the revenue driver, it's the everything driver for the business. And if you keep those two businesses together, it'll always be overshadowed by the larger broadcast business. Separating them, I think, in my opinion, allows Showmax to be a digital-first business to compete in that way. But on the behind the scenes, if you look at, they've used a lot of their competitive strengths to benefit Showmax. A lot of their content licensing and their content sort of libraries is shared. What's really interesting about that is that, you know, we see this in cinema quite often where Disney, for example, will have a massive Marvel film same day release as the streaming service, which completely cannibalizes their cinema business. So from a multi-choice integration sort of strategy and how it goes forward, I think the Showmax team has fought hard to be independent and slightly further away from the core business to allow them to compete in a digital-first environment and adapt accordingly. Whereas the broadcast business has to deal with their sort of evolving change and falling revenues from subscribers and what that means for their future landscape. Those two things are completely different priorities, and therefore you need teams functioning and focusing on their independent businesses, in my opinion, within their strength.
Leslie, talking about falling revenues, as far as DStv cord cutting is concerned, do you think it's purely a price play in South Africa, or simply because we have more streaming choice and availability?
So I think it's a multi-layered sort of answer on that one. Increased competition will mean a segmentation of the market and a fracturing of the market, which means, I only have 10 rand. How far can this 10 rand go for my content consumption? And from month to month, they may change, right? So we've seen some really interesting trends in the numbers where SABC, when they had AFCON and the Rugby World Cup, we saw a massive spike in their audiences, both on linear and on streaming. We've seen how this multi-layered way of sort of functioning in the space. So I think the challenge that we find, or the opportunity we find, is globally, it must be said that no streaming service outside of Netflix is profitable. So it does underline the fact that, pay television is still the breadwinner in the sort of ecosystem. But what does it mean for the consumer? The consumer has more choice than they've ever had before. For a long, long time, if you wanted high quality television content, your only option was multi-choice. That is no longer the case, which means increased competition means that you've got to compete both on quality and on price, which I think, at the end of the day, I think multi-choice offers a very valuable solution, but everybody's content needs is different. And that's where I think the consumer and high churn, switching between channels, switching between apps, switching between services does impact them, where before, because they had no competition, your end of month subscription fee was almost guaranteed, and that is no longer the case.
Just a final one then. Is it entirely going forward a content play? In other words, what should traditional pay TV providers like MultiChoice be doing to remain competitive in the face of growing streaming platforms, as you've outlined to me?
So I think they've always had this very interesting sort of a la carte menu from a content perspective, and they've managed for a large part to be everything to every consumer, and that's no longer the case. There's a couple of things that we find sort of key tentpoles, especially in the African market. They have to focus on access, which DStv sort of has led television access through satellite. They now need to evolve that into an internet phase where, content's available anywhere and everywhere. There's a cost factor, a price factor, which means that curating different subscription sizes for different consumers becomes very interesting and very complicated from a licensing perspective. The other thing is the fact that, free still wins. SABC still has the largest audience of all linear television broadcasters. And then free services will compete even more aggressively within that space. So how to evolve their revenue menu per se, and where how they pull revenue from different avenues will be quite interesting. The fact of the matter is, what we're going to see is probably more pain before we see more growth. So the trends we're seeing now of pay TV declining, this is only the beginning. And what it will look like at the end will be quite interesting to see, because ultimately we all have this sort of unending content need as consumers, but at the same time, we also have this limited budget to apply to it. So the one who can sort of meet all of those needs at the best cost, at the most easiest way to access, will obviously win.
Leslie Adams, thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate your time.